I'm so glad you said that, because as you were talking about that, I thought, you know what? This is a great beer to have in the morning.
Yeah,
this is
waffle, Belgian waffles with syrup and salty, meaty bacon on the side.
Pints and Pairings is brought to you in part by We're Driving and The Beer Cave. Learn more about our sponsors at hopheadshead.com/pintsandpairings.
Hello. We're getting the wrap-up signal. We still have one more beer to go. This is Pints and Pairings. I am Curtis Taylor, also known as Hophead Said.
And I'm Jason Hendrick with Everybody's Hungry. And I haven't seen the wrap-up signal on this show until now, like ever, until tonight.
Well, because you're the one who's usually doing the wrap-up.
That's true.
No, actually, it's the whiteboard, and you're telling me, remember to do the hashtags. So I want to remember to do the hashtags right now. Hashtags Pints and Pairings, social media wrap-up. Hashtag
Pints and Pairings.
I'm getting the hashtag bit.
Oh, like from Jimmy Fallon and Justin Timberlake?
Yeah, hashtag Pints and Pairings, hashtag Beer Suggestioneers. You can find us at hopheadshead.com. Slash, that's a slash sound.
Sometimes
I go back and forth. Pints and Pairings. Anyway, you can find us there. All the links, YouTube, iTunes, blah, 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 blah.
And tonight we're celebrating our 1-year anniversary. We're our fourth beer in, if you hadn't noticed, based on our energy levels and our giddiness right now.
Actually, as we were talking, it reminded me of something I was going to say in the last episode when we hit the number three. So we've done Pilsner, we've done a Baltic Porter, and we did a Belgian Gold Strong, Golden Strong Ale. As movies go, as stories go, you've got this great intro, and then you kind of keep coming down in that third segment, that third quarter is just, let's get going. Yeah. And then you hit that fourth quarter, the fourth segment here, which is a double IPA, and really... you played a huge role in putting this lineup together, and kudos to you, because we started with this really nice crisp beer, kind of a palate, an aperitif, let's just call it. With the Pilsner, we hit big with that Baltic Porter, and another big beer with the Golden Strong. Those two had a residual sweetness all the way through. We hit to the double IPA, which also has a residual sweetness, and that is, for me, the crown, the mark that you have to hit on a double IPA, is it has to have a malt backbone.
For sure, but it's got a strong enough hop presence that, one, it doesn't leave you thinking there's a viscous, syrupy sweetness to it, but also that it holds its own in terms of balance. One thing we forgot to do, though, Curtis, given the beers we've been drinking and our excitement about this double IPA, forgot about our sponsors. We want to give a shout out to the Lab 805 located in Ventura County for our great signage and our on-air representation that tells everyone in the Barrel House 101 dining room that we are in studio and broadcasting. We also have Food Share Ventura County, who offers all their support, really backing us on how we educate our audience and share out our passion for beer and food in the same way that they educate the community and share out the passion for feeding the individuals in need here in Ventura County. Also, the Beer Cave. Love saying that because it always makes me think of putting on a jacket and going into the cooler to pick out my beers.
The Cave Coat.
And they're at 231 Village Commons Boulevard in Camarillo. Find them on Facebook at Village Commons Market and Deli. We're driving, getting you home tonight.
Absolutely.
Boop, boop.
They're getting me home safe.
And the way you do that with that designated driving service, they send out two drivers in a car. One of those drivers gets into your car with you, and then everybody chases each other back to your destination. So when you wake up in the morning, your car's in the driveway, you're feeling safe and good, and they help someone out.
When you use the service as much as I do, both of my drivers, the one driving me and the tail car, know exactly where they're going. So they get there.
You could almost fall asleep in the chair, which may or may not have happened in the past.
It may have happened. Now, but if you're a brand new customer, they've got cell phones, they talk to each other.
Sure, they know where to go.
Right.
Also, though, a great proprietor of our studios tonight and where we broadcast live from frequently, Barrel House 101, located in the heart of Ventura, right off the California Street exit and the 101 freeway, premier tap house in Ventura, offering 101 beers on tap and a really awesome menu that helps provide some inspiration for this show, especially when they have a flight night or a tap takeover where we can talk to the breweries and the brewers that are representing their fine product. But also the food coming out of the kitchen, again, just helps keep us up to date on things that we should be telling individuals with the beer pairing.
that leads us right into Firestone Walker's Double Jack.
And you love your Double Jack.
I discovered this beer about 4.5 minutes after I moved to California 5 years ago.
Not to be too precise about it.
It did not take me long to discover this beer. And, you know, one of the hallmarks of a double IPA for me, I've had double IPAs where it's just this hop juice and it's one-sided hop. That is not what a double IPA is. A double IPA has to have a malt backbone to hold up the hops. The hops are actually balancing out the malt to be so that it doesn't become cloyingly sweet. That's what this beer is. This is my gold standard when I'm judging a double IPA.
And even before we get into what we're tasting, the aroma on this is really beautiful. It's got this really distinct cantaloupe fruity sweetness to me, but also a resiny, piney hoppiness that just balances in a really beautiful way. The way I used to eat cantaloupe, too, with my grandmother and grandfather was with a little sprinkling of salt. And I think this is really reflective of how I used to eat cantaloupe in the aroma and now kind of leading into what we want to talk about on the palate as well.
Well, and before we get going too far, I want to make sure that people understand, too, that if you're using this podcast as what you are going to pair with, if you can get the Double Jack, then great. If you can't find Double Jack and you're looking for, say, Moylan's Hopsicle, or you're doing any number, now I can't even believe I'm losing track of
there's just too many
the
these days
IPA.
Though, because people want double IPA, they want the hop presence.
You've got to taste them first, because these can go from what we have, this well-balanced, to what I was talking about, this hop juice, and some of them are more or less balanced to sweet, to hoppy. On the hop side, they can become really vegetal, green, and I appreciate those, and I like to drink them. I can't drink a whole 22-ounce bottle of it, but, you know, so when you're thinking of your pairings, you have to keep that in mind. This one is on the well-balanced side. There's a sweetness. This is actually a beer as a non-food pairing, pints and pairings. I like to pair this with a beginning craft beer drinker, because it is so well balanced. When you drink the beer, I've had on, I don't know, too many times that I can't even count anymore. You take somebody who is afraid of hoppy beers and you give them a double IPA, you get hit initially with that hop dry out your palate, the bitterness, and then the sweet washes right over it. Yeah. And they become a convert already. I mean, just almost immediately, as soon as that
malt
washes.
I can see how
that
would be so easy to do. Because right now, as we're drinking this beer, it's warmed up a little bit for us. But as I exhale and as I let it sit from that last drink, there's almost like a little reminder of fresh strawberries after you've eaten a couple of them. We live right near, right here in Ventura County near Oxnard, which is like the strawberry capital of the world. And if it's not officially, I just dubbed it that way. But there's something about the way the nuttiness of the seeds and the little bit of fuzziness of a strawberry leave a lingering sweetness and nuttiness on your palate. This is really reflecting that for me at this point in time.
And one of the things that I love about this beer is the residual sweetness, what you were just talking about. But it helps. It may be counterintuitive to people, but this is a fantastic dessert pairing beer. And I know we've got a dessert pairing coming up, but you could go with the ubiquitous pepper jack cheese.
Yeah.
You could go with some of these other spicy things, you know, with some vegetable components. Yeah, you can do that. But that's, you know, it takes about 4 seconds of a web search to find this thing. Now, what I like, though, is just with this one in particular, I really appreciate ginger snap cookies with this beer. And because of the peppery ginger flavor helps to dry the beer out a little bit, but then there's still this underlying sweetness that pulls those two together.
That makes a lot of sense. And just so that we don't flood you with desserts, while you're talking about the ginger note and the little pepper spice, this could actually be a really cool sushi beer because you're getting that little fiery horseradish aspect of wasabi and the pickled ginger with that really starchy sweet rice. I think this could really resonate on a couple of different levels, so that you're not thinking, I only can put this with cookies or with bread pudding or with something sweet. you can get sweetness in other fashions. And sushi, again, especially with that pickled ginger and that wasabi to kind of cut through and balance it all together. And even that little bit of savory, salty umami of soy sauce is going to let a few layers of this beer shine.
Well, and sushi rice is sweet on it in itself, too. And so laying that base resonating flavor with it, too. I'm full of desserts and flavor pairings.
Well,
for this one.
And there's no reason to feel ashamed about that because, as you said, this is a great dessert beer. The pairing we have tonight has some pepper notes in it, though, because like you were saying yesterday when we went through the taste test and the sample, I was clinging to black pepper and spice. I couldn't help it. It just, the really awesome hoppiness and that resin that's in there, and it just was begging for pepper. Anastasia Chavez here at Barrelhouse 101 has come up with a cherry cheesecake that's going to have a cherry black pepper preserve. Mm-hmm. So I'm really curious to see how that works. Tying together this pepper and stuff that you're concerned about, but also with the sweetness that you love.
Yeah, and you know, I threw out a couple to you yesterday that I'm going to throw out here tonight as well. Maple cookies, it has the same sweetness. That's a definite resonating, but then you've got the hop flavors that are going to kind of cut that back. Old-fashioned donuts in this beer.
Cakey style, right?
Right, just this thick, heavy donut. But then as I was talking about that, as I was writing that, then I said, wait a second, no. Maple donut, maple bar bacon donut.
Just keep there going,
baby.
There keep
it
going.
Is. So it was this trifecta. It was maple, it was donut, and it was bacon. And I hate bacon beer. I hate the rogue voodoo bacon.
Don't put the
donut.
Bacon in the beer, but bring something that has bacon in it
and
to the beer.
And don't put a donut in your, or I mean beer, donuts in your beer, whatever it is.
No,
that
just
they
eat
get.
Them side by side.
Just, yeah, put them together on a plate, one in a glass, one on your plate, and everything is golden. So those are, you know, it may seem counterintuitive, but if you sit down in the morning with a maple bar that has a piece of bacon on it and even a small glass of this beer, you're starting your day off not on the healthiest note, but you are starting your day off
on the happiest note.
Yeah, it's going to be a good day.
Now I'm going to throw one out here and I'm going to wait to see. I'm going to do that dramatic pause to see how our audience members respond, because I'm going to do not just one dish, but an entire event. This beer should be your next Thanksgiving beer. When you look at the different traditional items that are going to show up at Thanksgiving, that great golden, buttery, juicy turkey after it's been baked or deep fried, putting it with a really kind of cool herbal stuffing. So you're putting some fresh herbs of parsley and celery, you know, just really awesome bready aspects of a fresh-made stuffing. And then for some tie-in to the sweetness, you got your marshmallow top sweet potatoes and then that tart cranberry, fresh-made cranberry sauce to cut through. So you're going to go through a wave of flavors, some resonating, some sharp and contradictory, but I think this is a beer that's going to stand up across many dishes for Thanksgiving.
My friend, that event pairing right there has paid for your whole next year of being my co-host.
Woo-hoo!
Right there. I'm so glad that is perfect. You know, one of the things you're talking about, this marshmallow thingy, whatever it is, we don't do that at my place, but we do this sweet potato
casserole
kind of thing. Yeah.
Okay.
And then, you know, coconut on top, and it just, it's the same thing. You know, I mean, really, you're hitting on all of the same kind of flavor, resonating sweetness levels, and how the beer is going to help cleanse those. The hot presence is going to help cleanse this. The other thing is if you don't necessarily care for all of the relatives that are at your house on Thanksgiving, this beer is going to smooth off all of those rough edges.
Oh, most definitely. At 9.5%, you're going to... That's a pairing in itself.
That's a pints and pairings right there.
Yeah, eventually you're going to end up on the porch with a glass of this, just thinking about what a enjoyable meal it was and how now you're separated from the rest of the family for the rest of the evening.
Right. I think we should just call it quits right there. That's a good
we
one.
Should. I no,
wanna,
we won't.
No, we won't. One of the things, I wrote down a couple notes that I want to just kind of throw out. If you get a double IPA, or if you're hankering or you appreciate IPAs that are more vegetable, that have just a giant hop addition to it, and that gives it kind of a grassy flavor. When I'm talking vegetable, grassy, celery-ish in that neighborhood. Some roast grilled asparagus. And so you've got this really nice, especially if you put some pepper on it, then you've got this pepper and the hop resin, the piney resinous kinds of flavors that will go together. I think that will work well. So you just kind of look at some of these. That's one of my favorite ones anyway. So if you were looking at some other grilled vegetables, that would probably work as well. But there's just something about the essence of asparagus.
Sure.
And with this beer, too. I mean, I think that would work really well. On a non-beer pairing level, we talked about this one when we did Double Trunk from the Dudes Brewing.
Yes, that was a delicious beer.
And, you know, the IPA history is so full of holes and errors and every, you know, and half-truths, and everyone just spews it out that it was this beer, you know, all this stuff. Push all that aside and just go, yes, it's called an India Pale Ale. Sit down with one of these, and whether or not you like the movie Gandhi or you want to sit through a four-hour movie, again, this is much like the Thanksgiving dinner.
Yeah.
After 22 ounces of Double Jack,
just engulf yourself in the movie.
You're not going to worry about anything else.
Now, I was having a conversation with Jonathan from the audience off air a little while ago, and we were talking about IPAs and double IPAs in relation to spicy foods and how that plays into people's typical perception. Do I go with an IPA or double IPA with something very spicy or resonating? It can be done. And I like a double IPA of this style with some great pho soup or something with a lot of coconut, lemongrass, and bamboo shoot going into like the almost Tom Kai soup kind of realm with some mushrooms in it. Because I think the coconut milk and the coconut component of the soup is going to draw down a little bit of that sweetness and some of the resiny components. But then with the bamboo shoot and those fresh herbs that they usually toss in there, it's going to bring it back up. So it's kind of like a little teeter-totter almost back and forth. Even with the dessert pairing yesterday, we were kind of debating on some things that could go. We were talking about a coconut milk ice cream or a sorbet kind of direction. And again, that fresh ginger that we talked about earlier. So there is some opportunity here for diverse pairings. It's not just a dessert paired beer, and it's not just a sweet direction. You can get away with. I loved your ideas about the celery and the herbs, because to me there's also like a